you're listening to Monday Night's Arena. The author of My Name is Lucy Barton, The Burgess Boys, Elizabeth Strout, won the Pulitzer Prize for her third novel, Olive Kitteridge, in 2008. Her latest novel, Olive Again, is a sequel to Olive Kitteridge, and Elizabeth Strout is with me now. Olive Again, there are so many ways you could say that title, and it could be with a tired sigh.
Right.
It could be with a very excited joy. Right. Which was it when Olive came knocking at your writer's head again?
It was just an acknowledgement that she had to be dealt with, comma, again.
Yeah, because there is no exclamation mark.
No, it's just Olive again.
Yeah. Well, you do say it with a little bit of, she's back.
She's back, that's right.
She's at
that's
me.
That's right.
She has something to tell me.
That's
so
right.
Maybe we should say where you left her in 2008 at the end of Olive Kitteridge.
Right. I left her with her husband having passed away, and she had just met a man who was from out of state. She couldn't really stand him, but then she decided she rather liked him a bit, and he seemed to rather like her. And that was the end of that book.
And if you had to describe the nature of her, the temperature of her personality, let me put it that way, how would you describe it?
Oh, I think she's probably cold to the touch, but I think there are pockets of warmth within her, definitely real pockets of warmth.
I guess that's the interest for the writer.
Yes.
The cold to the touch, the pockets of warmth.
To go and find those. Yeah. And bring them out.
Did she in the initial novel, or even the initial, as it was a set of stories that combined, interlinked stories that combined to be a novel, was there, were the pockets of warmth hard to find? Did she cover them very well?
No. I mean, because I made her, I understood they were there. Mm. And so I could go and find them.
So you are that? Are you then that type of writer who you have her made in your head and you go about getting her down on the page? She doesn't come.
Well, she came pretty fully formed, but I also understand that I made her up. She's from my imagination.
Yeah. So it isn't. You don't have this sense that a character slowly, if you like, opens up to you. Do you have a fair idea of where that character is going from the very starting point?
I don't. The character is clear to me. Olive, especially being Olive, she's very clear to me. But I'm not. I never know where she's going to go in a scene.
Yeah, until you get there.
I get there.
Why is she so clear to you?
I don't know. I just really don't know. I mean, most of my characters at this point show up pretty fully formed. But Olive, from the very moment she showed up with the original Olive book, she just was completely right there. Boom. Bang.
So, Olive, again, you know, there's an acknowledgement there that something has to be dealt with here. Is it the fact that I suppose you left her in kind of middle to late middle age at the end of Olive Kitteridge, and there's more life in her, essentially?
That's what I realized when I started to write Olive Again, and I hadn't planned on it. I thought I was done with her and that she was done with me. And then when I saw her, when she showed up again, I realized, oh, this is interesting. She's gotten older. And then so there's a whole decade or more in Olive Again that she goes through as she continues to grow older and also grow as a person.
Do you think that the HBO series with Frances McDormand realizing Olive physically in front of you on the screen, did that in any way help Olive come to you again?
I don't believe it did, because Olive, I mean, Frances McDormand was wonderful. They did a wonderful, wonderful job. But the Olive that I had in my head from Olive Kitteridge stayed in my head as my Olive in Olive Again.
That suggests to me that somehow your Olive feels different to you then from the television Olive, does she?
Yes, she did.
And
she
how?
Did. I thought that Frances was, like I said, she did a wonderful job. But I think Frances is pretty. And at one point, I know she had, her hair down to her shoulders. And my Olive is not quite like that. And she's much bigger. My Olive is a large person.
Yeah, and she's described as that, And in fact, I think, isn't it Bill Murray who describes her, but it's not Bill. Bill's character is Henry.
Jack
Henry is the other fella. Jack describes her as that, doesn't he?
Yes.
As a big woman.
Yes.
Possibly on the front, the opening page of this book, he talks about this.
He describes her as kissing a barnacle-covered whale.
Yeah, doesn't sound like there are many pockets of warmth in that, to me.
Well, that was before he got back together with her.
So then he got to the
and
he got to the pockets of warmth.
Yeah.
The other thing that struck me, it is Olive Again, like Olive Kettridge, is this collection of interlinked stories. To what extent did the inhabitants of Crosby demand, the town in Maine where the novel right. is set, to what extent did some of them demand a revisit? Or they were characters maybe who were mentioned in passing in right. Olive Kitteridge and who now said, you know, I'm a little bit older now. She taught me. I have something to tell. Right. I have a story to tell.
That's right. So that was fun and interesting for me to go back and bring some of the characters back from the original and also to add new characters and then to bring in characters from my other books as well.
The one that I'm particularly interested in that respect is Cindy Coombs.
Yeah.
Had she been here before?
Cindy, this was her first.
This is her first outing.
Show up.
She is in a chapter that has the heading Light.
Right.
Now, that's interesting just quite simply in terms of you and what light means because we're in Maine.
Right.
The state of Maine. And you talk about a very particular type of light.
That's right.
In Maine. Explain that to me.
Well, in Maine, excuse me, the light in Maine is quite unique for the country of the United States. The light in Maine is very, very northern and it falls, you know, at a certain angle all year round, but it's particularly, I think, beautiful in February. And I put that in when Cindy was noticing the light in February herself. And then Olive Kitteridge comes in and says herself that she has always loved the light in February.
Is Maine part of New England? Would it be referred to as
yes,
part of New England?
Yes,
so it is part of one of the New
Northern
England states.
Northern New England, yeah.
Because we always hear about the wonderful fall, the autumn
yeah.
in New England and
right.
the wonderful colours. But the light in spring, describe that to me, because we hear lots about the fall and the
right,
colours that we
right.
see. What's
the
so
light,
different about the spring light?
I don't know. The February light, you know, February is still a very messy month. There's a lot of snow or sleet or whatever. But the days are getting longer are significantly longer at that point. And you can see it at the end of the day. You can see that golden glow that's still there. Mm. And it's really, really beautiful.
So the light in Maine is quite definitely one thing that attracts you for this novel. And I think possibly in other novels as well. Is there something specifically about the personality of Maine, if states have personalities, mm. or perhaps the nature of the people in Maine, and we don't want to be Mainist, I suppose,
right.
in that respect.
Well, I mean, it's hard to, you know, I don't want to make generalizations, mm. but nevertheless, there is a culture in Maine that is different from other parts of the country, obviously. And many people in Maine are very, they don't necessarily talk a great deal. They don't express their emotions a great deal. You know, there's an inwardness.
And is that, again, but I guess you would say that's classic Olive, isn't it?
Yes, right.
She mightn't express it. She might be cold to the touch.
She does. She expresses a little too often for Olive, but anyway.
you kind of have a peculiar love-hate relationship with her, it sounds
to
me.
Oh, I actually love Olive. I made her and I love her very much.
So there's no hate in there at all?
No, not for me at all. No, no. I love her and I know she's very difficult at times. And I'm aware of that.
So this thing that, but you did say there just a second ago that she talks a lot. She says too much.
She says what she feels.
Is that the honesty aspect
yes,
of all of it?
Is I think
that
so.
The big attraction?
I think that is one of the big attractions to her for readers because she's a very complicated person. She has many, many different aspects to her. And I think we all have many aspects to us, frankly. I think we're all complicated. But I think most of us try and damp down a lot of those aspects and keep them to ourselves. But all of it is so out there that I think there are different parts of her that people can relate to.
In fact, am I right in thinking that finding those complications, particularly in the so-called ordinary person,
right.
that's the joy for
that
you
is
in writing?
Exactly. I just am very, very interested in ordinary lives and how complicated they in fact are.
Has Olive's life then, in Olive Again, we're seeing her into late middle age and
yeah.
early old age,
right.
in fact, as we follow her over
right.
about a decade, isn't it?
That right, we're with a little more than a decade,
yeah.
right.
In Olive Again. Are things becoming clearer for her? Are things becoming less complicated for her?
Well, she has some health issues, which people tend to have as they get older. And then But emotionally, she does seem to continue to grow. And I found that to be very interesting, because I think there's a myth that when people reach a certain age, they just sort of stop and they're hanging there for the rest of their lives. And I just don't think that's true, actually. I think as long as the person's breathing, they're continuing to grow or to feel things or to, you know, want to be treated with dignity. I mean, it's an ongoing process. And so I realized that Olive is actually growing and becoming a little more open to the experiences of others and things like that.
So as she gets older, in fact, rather than contracting,
right,
closing in,
right,
and closing down, if,
right,
you like, she's in some ways doing the,
yes,
opposite.
Right.
Is that a kind of a wishful aspect on your part? You're not Olive's age. You're younger than Olive.
But you know, I've observed a lot of people, and I sort of have a theory that people either keep on growing or they continue to diminish. And if they are diminishing, they've been on that track for a long time, you know.
Do you think that's a decision people make, or do you think it's
I don't know if it's a decision people make. I think it might be just their nature, you know. And I realized that at the end of Olive Kittredge, her nature was one that was continuing to grow. She absorbs her blows and she takes a look at herself and she keeps going. So for Olive again, I thought, no, this is a woman who's actually going to continue to grow.
Is failure an important theme within Olive again, do you think?
I think the opposite of failure is a theme, because whenever there is a failure, there's always some sort of reckoning with it and an attempt to look at it, absorb it, go on, you know.
So the fact that you refer to it as the opposite of failure, you're not necessarily talking about success then as the opposite of failure. Are you talking about something else?
I'm talking about just living lives. Just, you know, I mean, failure is a very distinct term and success is a very distinct term. And in most of our lives go on something in between, you know, for day after day.
The female body is quite important, I think, and particularly in one story. There's a story that starts with when we meet a young woman called Kaylee. She's a young girl,
yeah,
a 12-year-old girl, who there's quite a disturbing aspect to the story in that she's cleaning a neighbor's house,
right,
and she accidentally bears her breast, and then,
right,
the man in the house,
right,
continues to pay her to do this,
right,
on an ongoing basis. That's a difficult subject to become involved in.
Right.
How difficult was it for you to write about that and to steer clear of pitfalls?
Well, you know, it was not difficult in the sense that I think you're referring to, because I just was inside the character of Kaylee Callahan. You know, she's a young girl. Her father has died. She's a very loving girl. She's filled with love, and she has no real repository for her love, you know, because her mother isn't especially available to her in many ways. And so as I was going through that story, I just thought, you know, let's just stay right in Kaylee's head and in her life. And it's filled with nuances, which I think real life is.
And did it allow you to examine how Olive, a much older woman, obviously,
right,
at this point, looking at her body and looking at her body,
right,
and how it's changing, did it open up that for you?
Well, it just came to me, you know, that you know, Kaylee goes to visit her friend who's in a nursing home, and Olive is there visiting her friend, and, you know, Olive says, well, I just hope to hell they shoot me before I get to this point. And Kaylee says, I do too. Me too. I hope they do too. And Olive says, well, you've got a time to go. Don't worry.
You really become somebody else when you do Olive's voice. Are you one of those writers who literally acts out the part for yourself?
I think in my head I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we finished with Olive?
Well, I think that we are, but I thought that I was before. So I don't, this time I'm a little more hesitant about saying that I'm finished with her, because.
And just one thing in that regard, you know, given that Olive again, like Olive Kitteridge, and indeed like others of your books as well, is this, you know, series of interconnected stories. Mm-hmm. Did you know with Olive again, did you think, oh, maybe this is just a short story, or had you a fair idea, no, it's going to be another set?
Well, I started with one of the stories, and that's a little bit halfway through the book. That was because I don't write from beginning to end. But when I finished that story, I thought, Oh, I bet we're going to have another Olive book, because there were so many things in that story that I found out about her, which was that she had been married again to Jack Kennison. And I just thought, no, I'm probably going to do this. And then I did.
So who knows, five, yeah. six, 10 years' time, we could be sitting with Olive again.
Again.
Elizabeth Strout there speaking to me about her latest novel, Olive Again, which is published by Viking.